I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's the butterfly effect for real.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It's Monday, October 12th. And we are going to preview Monday Night Football. Just one game. Thought we were going to have two games. Got Tyler Sullivan, a.k.a. Sully, joining us. Sully, what's up, buddy? No Pats game today.
No Pats game. That got reshuffled. It's going to Sunday now. But, hey, listen, we still got one game, so it's exciting for that.
That's right. We got Chargers at Saints minus 7, over under 49.5. Chargers money line plus 300. Saints money line minus 360. Okay, look, I think anecdotally that we've been doing pretty well on these props and these picks. Like, I think so. I've been getting some tweets. People are like, nice hit, bro! And it's like, all right, cool. Like, I keep forgetting to bet this. Like, I say this stuff.
I do the same thing. I write a ton of these, you know, betting previews and all that stuff, and a ton of them hit. One week I don't, you know, one week I do bet it. They all fall apart. I know.
Yeah, like,
it's frustrating.
Yeah, like, I went big on, like, the Ravens Chiefs Monday night game, and they had, like, Hollywood Brown over, you know, like, Miles Boykin over and lost like everything. And then, you know, like, it was Raiders Saints where like I absolutely nailed how the game would play out and I didn't bet a single thing. Or, Sam Darnold rushing yards last Thursday.
That was me week three. I was doing week two. I hit all of my five locks of the week. I'm like, oh wow. All right. Doing pretty good. You know, and I was like, let me actually put some money on this. Let's ride. Just completely trashed it. That's how it goes.
Absolutely. I was tracking myself. Before I did the super contest, I did the super contest a few years, and the year before I signed up for it, I was like, I'm going to do five best bets a week and see how I do it. I'm like, I would have finished like top 10 or something, betting them at all, you know, like just tracking them. Anyway, Chargers at Saints minus 7, over under is 49.5. Obviously the Saints are heavily favored here. There will be no Michael Thomas. He was slated to return from injury, but he decided to punch somebody in the face. Marshawn Lattimore, Jared Cook, Marcus Davenport, and Andrews Peter are all questionable. Austin Eckler obviously will not play. Melvin Ingram will not play. Joey Bosa is questionable. Trey Turner is out. And Mike Williams is questionable. Pretty banged up pair of teams here. Any thoughts on this game on the outset?
I think one of them, I don't really mind the Chargers in this one. You know, the money line, I think what you said was plus 300. I was looking at it was plus 250, so it's going up. I don't hate putting a little bit on that just because I kind of like the way things are building with Los Angeles. You know, Justin Herbert plays well after Tyrod Taylor gets hurt. You know, he goes toe to toe with Tom Brady in that game last week. Didn't come out on the winning end of it, but still was wildly impressive. I think a lot of people are paying attention to Joe Burrow throwing for like 300 passing yards each week, but Justin Herbert's doing the same thing with the Chargers. Now he's officially named the starter. He's going up against a Saints team that is allowing 30 points a game. Drew Brees hasn't looked like Drew Brees of old. I could see him kind of having a coming out party here of sorts, even though he's kind of already had that coming out party, but like, I could see him going in and kind of getting this win here. And all of a sudden you're looking at plus 300. That's a nice little money line there.
Yeah. And it looks like both the total and the spread are moving fairly aggressively. Saints down to minus 6.5, which is obviously quite notable. And, the total, which has dropped down from like 54, I think, is already down to 49.5. I mean, this total is getting steamed down. That shouldn't be surprising. Chargers unders have been fairly reliable this year. And I think you can envision a scenario where if the Saints are leading, like the Saints are not going to be, you know, dumping off to Alvin Kamara on every play. Like you can, now we'll get to that in a second. I mean, I still like the Kamara over receiving yards, but like if you look at Saints wins, you know, Kamara's receiving yards are down. You look at Saints losses, his receiving yards are way up, and that's because they're playing catch up and dumping it over the middle. I think they would love to be able to run the ball with Kamara and Latavius Murray, in this. Of course, the Saints, by the way, are just the most ridiculous October team on the planet. They have now covered 13 consecutive October games. So 13 straight wins against the spread in October, the longest streak over the last decade by a long shot. Chargers are 0-4 against the spread in their last four primetime games, and 0-3-1 against the spread in their last four Monday night games. Saints are 0-2 straight up and against the spread in primetime games so far, somehow. 2-0 straight up against the spread in day games. I'm not sure what that has to do with anything. I will note, too, that Drew Brees in his career, 3-0 against the spread and 3-0 straight up against the Chargers 2008, 2012, and 2016. That would be my, if I was picking a non on the field factor, that would be it. Like Drew Brees on Monday night where, I mean, you know, for better or for worse, ESPN has had just absurd tribute to Brees every time he breaks a record for like the last 5 years. It's like, oh, Drew Brees has done it. He's broken the record for most. And like Tessitore is like, and here it is, a moment of unbridled joy. But it's like, okay, look, he threw a touchdown. Okay.
The game stops. Everybody goes on the field. There's a video tribute like a at halftime. It's insane.
How do we do it? Like just, like, I mean, okay, whatever. I mean, like they did it for Peyton Manning too, but Brees, it feels like every Monday night, you know, something like that is happening. I really do think he will have it. He still has it. I think he hates the Chargers. I think he hates their organization. I think he hates everybody who is in. I think he hates the Spanos family. I think he has vengeance on his mind whenever he plays the Chargers. And for that reason, along with the fact that the Saints are great on Monday night and Brees has been great on Monday night, I tend to lean towards the Saints here, but I don't really feel comfortable about it because you could certainly see Herbert storming through the back door or them playing really well on the outset and the Saints having to win the game late and not covering the seven.
Right. And you listed, you rattled off all of those stats, especially the Saints in October in prime time, all that stuff. But I mean, if you look at the Chargers over the last 14 games as an underdog, they're 9-3-2 against the spread. And in the same scenario, basically, the Saints, who are home favorites, they're 4-10 against the spread. So you can kind of make your case either way. It really just depends on how you feel going into this. I just wonder, you know, what Drew Brees is going to look like. And I understand the revenge factor and the hate and all that stuff, but clearly this year is a little bit different from what we're seeing with him. He's struggling to throw downfield. His yardages and all that stuff are kind of ballooned because Alvin Kamara is so great. He can basically just throw it, you know, at the flat and all of a sudden Kamara is going to run it 40 yards down the field. And when you look back a couple of weeks later, you'll say, oh wow, Drew Brees, he had a 40-yard touchdown pass to Alvin Kamara. It was really like a 10-yard pass.
He's sort of like he's like morphed into like a geriatric Derek Carr.
Right.
You know, like he's like got good totals, but you're like, how does he do that? Like he's not
well, yes, exactly. So, I mean, I just wonder what that's going to look like. And so for me, I just like the momentum that the Chargers have right now. And you know, you don't have to take the money line if you don't think that, but try to get the points on them right now. You can still get, you know, around maybe a touchdown or a little less than that going into this game. So to me, that's something I would pay attention to there.
So looking at Breeze's charts here on Next Gen Stats, I am showing, three completed passes more than 20 yards down the field. One of them for a touchdown. He's thrown two picks, but I mean, he's not throwing a bunch of picks or anything like that. He's had some flashes. He's flashed Brees, but I agree. I mean, like clearly he is a player in decline and it really feels like he knew this is a good Saints team in theory. If everybody stays healthy and you know, the Buccaneers aren't a juggernaut or whatever. And I just don't think he was willing to lose the idea of like the Saints making one more Super Bowl run. And like watching Jameis Winston do it. So I think he would prefer to be in the NBC booth, but you know, there's a little bit of FOMO there for Drew Brees.
Yeah. And I think anytime you have a player, you know, kind of contemplating retirement you know, basically almost, you know, 1 foot already in there. I feel like there's just a natural kind of decline there. Maybe you're not as geared up. And I'm not saying that Breeze is not like preparing like he usually does, but I think there's just a natural kind of progression of, okay, I'm kind of winding down here a little bit. And it's just a natural response. It's not nothing, you know, that he's actually doing. But I think also the elephant in the room is you know, Michael Thomas isn't going to be there. He hasn't been there for the bulk of the season, but it did feel like this was the momentum him coming into this game. I mean, they didn't rule him out because he was injured. He ruled him out because he punched somebody in the face. Like, you know,
I'm almost surprised they did it. Like, I mean, they're 2-2. They need this win. Yeah. It's not like the Chargers are freebies. I don't know. I'm a little surprised.
I almost wonder what would have happened if the Buccaneers had won on Thursday. Like, what would have the decision have been if they were kind of, you know, all right, listen, you punch somebody in the face, you know, we'll fine you or whatever, but we won't suspend you because we're
suspend
in the
week six.
Right. We have to go toe to toe with the Buccaneers now. But the fact that they lost to the Bears, maybe that goes into the decision making a little bit. Who knows? But yeah, no, I think Thomas not being in this game adds another layer to Drew Brees maybe not being as effective as I think.
All right. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we will discuss player props and DFS.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul. The designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Okay, so we have a game that should be fun to bet on. Look, I'm going to go and tell you off the bat, Sully. I went ahead last night as we were recording our recap podcast. I took a gander at some of these props and saw that Alvin Kamara's receiving yards were at 52.5. And I believe we had two Saints primetime games, and his over receiving yards has cashed in both of them. Now, as I mentioned, the game script's a little concerning here because you have a situation where if the Saints are winning, typically you don't see as many dump offs to Kamara. But when Michael Thomas has been out, Kamara has been extremely reliable in terms of receiving yards. So Michael Thomas, let's see. So last three games, he has 9 catches for 95 yards. That was the Vegas game. 13 catches for 139 yards on that Sunday night game against the Packers. And then three catches for 36 yards at Detroit last week in primetime. But that was a game where New Orleans led for most of it. And they weren't forced to play catch up at all. So I like the idea, especially against with like a linebacker core that's not great and young, that we could see Kamara catching, and no Michael Thomas, but Kamara still catching plenty of balls over the middle here.
Right. He's clearly the number one option for them. I mean, you know, even with Michael Thomas not even there, like, he is very easily not only the top running back, he's just the top offensive weapon in that offense. So it does not surprise me at all if he's going to be a factor in the passing game and the running game. You know, I like him for any time. Touchdowns, first touchdown. You can place a lot of these different bets on Alvin Kamara. One that I like in particular, and it kind of combines him with Joshua Kelly, is both of them anytime touchdown. They have to both score a touchdown in this game to cash out plus 250. Like, that's, they're both going to be heavily involved. And I just like both of them hitting the end zone. Kamara's more of the sure thing. Joshua Kelly, Alvin Kamara not going, I mean, Austin Eckler not going to be in this game, obviously injured, should take on a bulk of those carries. Like, you could easily see both those guys getting into the end zone and really cashing.
Yeah. The only thing I would worry about with Kelly would be is just like, what are the Chargers going to do with Justin Jackson and Joshua Kelly? It's a big question for fantasy people. It'll be a big question for DFS purposes. We get in a second. Like, we just don't know exactly how that's going to work out, in terms of that player split. But yeah, I mean, I think, and one of the, look, I'll be honest, like, one of the ideas when I took the over on 52.5 for Kamara was that I expected, and cause we see this, and this is worth discussing about in maybe a larger context at some point, but when these popular props start to rise up really quickly the day of the game, like, Kamara is already up to 54.5 and is juiced minus 149. So you would expect that this probably gets to 56.5. Yep. And at that point, I honestly might come back and take out like half of it and just give myself like a 5 or 6 yard window where I can middle both of them. Because that's pretty huge when you talk about these props. Like, they end up, these props end up being pretty freaking close. Like,
they're pretty good at towing the line. That's kind of what they do. So yes, you know, if you follow the momentum during a game day, like, you know, you might kind of catch yourself buying into a little bit of hype there. So you might want to just kind of take a step back and assess the entire situation and see why it's rocketing up so much.
Right. Another one I really like, it is also heavily juiced. I got it in on Sunday night. So it's not, again, like I've just been, you know, just being forthright here with our audience. I got it at minus 143. It is now minus 156. Keenan Allen over 6.5 receptions. When you look at what Keenan Allen has done since Justin Herbert came in, it is very clear that he trusts him, implicitly. He has 10, 19, and 11 targets. He has only had under 6.5 catches. Yeah, Stephen O doesn't like it, by the way. He says, oh, there's no value. He projects 7.4 receiving yards, 87, or 7.4 receptions, 87 receiving yards, and 0.41 TDs. I think Allen, especially if we're projecting a situation where the Saints are winning, which is what the line implies, the Chargers will be throwing. They're going to have to throw. And they just throw these like short, easy, quick hitters to Keenan Allen because he's a sure, he's a great route runner, sure hands, et cetera, et cetera. I think he easily gets over 7 catches.
Yeah. And I think he also goes over his total yardage too. I mean, you know, when I wrote the preview for CBSSports.com, William Hill had it at 76.5. He's easily going over that. When Justin Herbert has been the starter, he's averaging 96.7 yards receiving over those three games. So it just seems like too easy of a situation for him to go over that total. Like you said, you know, if you anticipate this being a high scoring event, the Chargers playing a little bit of catch up on, you know, going toe to toe with Breeze and all of that, he's going to look Keenan Allen's way more than once, more than five times in this game. Yep. And so clearly he's going to have an opportunity to hit that over.
Another one I'm perfectly fine with. I'm just looking at it here. Latavius Murray over rushing yards, 41.5. And again, you're playing into game script here because we saw in their week one win against Tampa Bay, 15 carries, 48 yards. Week two loss to Las Vegas in which they were trailing the entire game, 3 carries, 14 yards. Green Bay, he got 12 carries for 58 yards, which is a, you know, a little bit of a, he had a very high yards per attempt there. And then against Detroit last week, 14 carries for 64 yards. This is a guy, if they are winning, he will get the rock. And you can run against the Chargers. So I really like that. I think now, look, if the Saints are trailing, if they get down 14-0 and have to come back against the Chargers, it's dead. But I really like that over right now at 41.5 or where.
I mean, the Saints have shown this, you know, over the last few years now with Alvin Kamara, whether it's Mark Ingram or Latavius Murray, they're willing to kind of split the carries a little bit. It's not going to be 50-50, but it could be 60-40, 70-30. And they could even give Latavius Murray, again, those key goal line red zone carries. They're not afraid to do that. They're not going to just hand the ball off to Alvin Kamara. So I don't mind that at all. And, you know, we're going to get into it a little bit later with DFS, but I don't even mind throwing in Latavius Murray into one of those situations as well. In those lineups.
Kamara is, I have to look. I know this year he does not have a game with more than 20 carries. They just don't like to do it in terms of his rushing attempts. He's never had 20 carries in a game in his career with the Saints.
Well, I think that, you know, kind of goes into what happened last year and almost them learning from their mistakes. They really used him heavily once they moved on from Mark Ingram, and he just wore down as the year went on. And, you know, he just was not the same player. Now they're clearly trying to scale him back a little bit, pick their spots with him, and it's working. I mean, he's lighting it up when given the opportunity. As an Alvin Kamara fantasy owner, it's a great time. It's really fun watching him play football.
So glad I drafted Saquon Barkley over Alvin Kamara. The other one I throw out here too, Justin Herbert, rushing yards, 15.5. He has, I had it up a second ago. Where is this boy here? All right, let's see. 18, 15, and 14. Now, so it's going to be all over it. But I just think in this spot, again, especially with the Saints possibly trailing, the Saints possibly winning and then trying to scramble and trying to maybe play a little more up-tempo and pass the ball more, you could see a couple of runs. To me, this is sort of like Darnold's 8.5. It was ridiculous. Yeah. I'll take the over on Justin Herbert rushing.
And in that similar kind of conversation into one we were having earlier with Austin Eckler, and we not know like what Joshua Kelly and Justin Jackson, what that's going to look like. Like, it doesn't necessarily bother me to look at a situation where you have Justin Herbert maybe rushing for a touchdown at any point. I think I last saw it on William Hill as like plus 400 or something along those lines.
Popped up here and has decided to say hello. Do you want to sit down? Can you say hello, Mr. Sully?
Hello, Mr. Sully.
What's going on?
This is pandemic dad life. Okay, can you sit here?
I like it.
Podcast, please. Should it be Alvin Kamara or who? Who should the captain be? Alvin Kamara. All right, go downstairs. I'll be right there. Go downstairs and play Dreambox. Be right there. Dreambox is a learning activity.
Last thing. Okay.
Again, my wife is absconded with all of the necessary supplies to keep my son entertained for the duration of this podcast. So let's get to DFS.
Let's do it.
I'm a little disappointed that we don't have a two game slate, because I love those DFS two game slates, but we'll deal with some showdown. And, let's start. What do you think in terms of showdown?
I think, you know, I kind of go back and forth on what I want to do here. I really want to put both quarterbacks in there for a game like this, that we think that there's going to be somewhat of a high scoring, maybe toe to toe. So I want to get them both in there, but it's really tough to make one of them your captain. I tried to do it with Justin Herbert, but then you're looking at Keenan Allen, you get Alvin Kamara in there, but then, you know, those are great. But outside of that, you got the Chargers defense that you got to kind of squeeze in there just because it's 2,800. Then you're talking about Lutz as a kicker. You're talking about Emmanuel Sanders, who I don't mind. That, I just think it's a little too tough to make one of them your captain. I think you got to get a little bit creative here. And one lineup that I don't necessarily mind, and it kind of goes into something that we were talking about earlier with the running game with the Chargers, is if you put Keenan Allen as your captain, you know, we've talked about him kind of lighting it up with Justin Herbert. Now you have Drew Brees in there. You have Justin Herbert. Those three are kind of your three pillars to this captain's lineup, with Keenan Allen as your captain. And then to kind of finish out and round out that lineup, you do have Justin Jackson. So you're kind of hoping that Joshua Kelly isn't as impactful in this game. And then you have Latavius Murray. Again, depending on the game script, if the Saints get out to an early lead, they'll clearly give him the ball. And then to round it out, you have Emmanuel Sanders. So to me, that one I think is the most well-rounded if you like to make one of the Chargers your captains. That's kind of where I lean.
Yeah, so I think if you're going with a Charger as a captain, what you want to do, and I like your idea. So I sort of like this game flow right here. Oh yeah, here we go. Let's see. So you go with Keenan Allen as your captain, right? 14.1. Then you tack on Hunter Henry and Justin Herbert as flexes as well. Mm-hmm. Latavius Murray and Alvin Kamara. So basically you're just completely punting on the Saints passing game outside of Kamara, you know, catching dump offs to Breeze. Mm-hmm. And you're saying, I think the Saints are going to get up early. Kamara's going to get their first touchdown or two touchdowns, and then Murray's going to run the ball a ton. And then you bring it back. Taysom Hill is the rounds it out at $800. You have $300 left over, but you're basically saying, okay, the Saints are going to get up and run the ball, and we're going to have, Herbert and Hunter Henry, Herbert throwing away to Hunter Henry and Keenan Allen in garbage time against the Saints defense. It'll probably allow them to do so. And if that's the case, then I think that is a viable path to something that's like a little bit unique, because it won't, like, I would guess the captain percentage for Alvin Kamara is going to be something like 30%.
It's insane. It's really tough to make that work. And so, you know, if you kind of want to fade that, because, you know, a lot of people are going to try to squeeze Kamara into all of the, I mean, he's going to be in 80% of his lineup.
You have to have Kamara in there.
Well, I have one lineup that he's not in it. And this is the one that I think that's interesting. And this is where Latavius Murray is my captain. I think if you are taking Kamara out of your lineup, you're saying that you're going to see a lot of Latavius Murray. So you should just make him your captain at that point, because he's going to double up the points. He's going to be cheaper than the rest of your options. Then you can fill out the roster a little bit better. And so you get both quarterbacks in there. You have Keenan Allen. And then, you know, if you're going under that assumption that the Saints maybe will get up to an early lead and you don't want to put Kamara in this lineup, well, then you should just put Tre'Quan Smith and Emmanuel Sanders in there as well, if Drew Brees is just throwing to those other guys. So to me, that's a way that you can kind of fade Kamara a little bit, get him out of there, have a little bit more of a unique lineup, but still be able to climb the ladder with the Saints running game.
The other two captains I would throw out there that I will definitely be considering, I will have lineups with these guys tonight. I usually play like somewhere between like 5 and 10 lineups, just depending on what time I start to put these things together. Because it usually, if it's like 7:50, then I'm probably going to play like 5 max. I think Justin Jackson looking like he'll be less than 5% owned, and so will Latavius Murray. I just think these are running back guys who, in a game that could potentially go under, that could end up being a situation where, like, if the Saints get up, Latavius Murray is the guy, and he's just being fed the rock late. And potentially too, with Justin Jackson, maybe they decide to just completely shift gears. The Saints, the Chargers keep it close, and they pound the ball with Justin Jackson as well. And if that's the case, then I think you have a very unique lineup because nobody will be on those guys. Traquan Smith. Oh, by the way, I didn't mention this. First touchdown scored. I really like Traquan Smith as, okay, as an option. He's like 19 or 20 to 1. Robbie is messing with my, do not.
It's because he likes Traquan Smith anytime, first time touchdown. That's why he's excited about the prop.
Right. What do you think? Traquan Smith, first touchdown, yes or no? Tell me who you think will score the first touchdown tonight. Traquan Smith or Alvin Kamara? Guess.
Traquan Smith.
Traquan Smith it is. Oh. There you go. All right, lock it in. All right, we got to go. I have to go give Robbie the password hint today. Sully, thank you so much for enduring this on a regular basis. You're awesome. Let's go cash it tonight. If we didn't answer any DFS or gambling stuff for Monday Night Football, Saints Chargers, tweet at Tyler Sully?
Yep.
At Tyler Sully or at Will Brinson. I will happily answer your questions or shoot me a DM. Let's go hit this prize.
I'm Mark Chapman. Welcome to the Planet Premier League podcast. Each week, Cesc Fabregas, Nader Manua and myself talk all things Premier League.
As a player, you don't have time to talk. No. You don't have time to make a plan. You just need to deal with wave after wave after wave.
We watched Coach Carter and he said, oh, afterwards, the game's just about doing this for your teammates. And I remember looking around halfway through the film and half the squad was asleep.
Planet Premier League. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.